All right, welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Carey Crowley. It's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest, frequent guest of the show, friend of the show, I might add, Katie Wu. She covers the St. Louis Cardinals for The Athletic. Wasn't sure we were going to have Katie on again this season, to be quite honest with you, but the Cardinals are back in this race, Katie. They're back in the wild card race, and they're making things interesting, huh?
They are, and Carey, who would have thought? I mean, come June and early July, it was definitely looking like the Cardinals were a team that were going to be sitting out come October, and, you know, it's crazy how things have aligned. They've had a really generous schedule in August. They've had Jack Flaherty come back. They've had Miles Michaelis come back, and they've been a much more complete unit over the last month or so, and they have made things very interesting in a wild card standings that have seen the Padres falter. And now it's looking like the Reds and the Cardinals can come and play some major damage.
Yeah, every time I look at the Padres score, I always check the Reds score just because I'm now conditioned to think that they're the team that's chasing San Diego in these wildcard standings. But that's not necessarily the only thing that's happening in these wildcard standings. The Cardinals are very much alive. Like you mentioned, Jack Flaherty, Miles Mikolas coming back and helping this starting rotation. And all of a sudden, the Cardinals are getting this done, Katie. Aside from the weak schedule, what has been going on for this team in August that's enabled them to have this sort of success?
You know, I think this comes back from a culmination of moves that the Cardinals front office made that at the time made virtually no sense, right? They signed Wade LeBlanc to a free agent contract. The trade deadline, they decided, why don't we trade for Jay Happ and John Lester? And all of these acquisitions didn't make any sense on paper. These are three, to all their credit, very proven. You know, they've had very long careers in MLB. That, you know, these are established veterans that maybe have kind of lost their way and needed to reinvent themselves. And in St. Louis, when you're coming from being a pitcher that maybe was a strike thrower, had the speed, had the velocity, and maybe no longer has that, and you become more of a pitch-to-contact guy, you look at the Cardinals' defense, and it makes sense. We've seen players like T.J. McFarland, who was he wasn't even in the big leagues, and the Cardinals picked him up. He's been one of the most locked-in pieces of their bullpen. I know Wade LeBlanc is hurt, but he's did an awesome job of being a stopgap starter when they didn't have even four starting pitchers, and that's where we saw their rotation kind of falter and that their record resemble that. So really it's been these acquisitions that, again, made virtually no sense and brought plenty of scoffing, plenty of controversy. And to their credit, they have figured it out. They have really utilized the defense behind them to be successful pitch for contact guys. You get through five or six innings and the bullpen takes over, and the bullpen has been really revamped by guys like McFarland and Luis Garcia. And the result is a much more complete pitching product. And I think that's been the biggest change.
Well, the Giants know all about how good the Cardinals can be. The Cardinals took 4 of 6 in the season series from San Francisco. We saw it in July. It's a pitching staff that throws strikes when it's on. And when they're not, they're throwing a lot of balls. They're walking guys. And that's been their issue this year. But clearly, they've started to fix things and clean things up here in the month of August. I want to ask you about a specific hitter, because you look at this lineup, Katie, and you see Nolan Arenado. You see Paul Goldschmidt. You think those are the guys who must be carrying this team. But Tyler O'Neill has been the best hitter all season long. How's he getting it done?
Absolutely. That's a great point, because I think when Tyler O'Neill come into the season had a lot to prove. I mean, he's a defensively sound, should be another Gold Glover this year in left field. But he was really kind of a two true outcome offensive player. He would either hit a home run or strike out. He very rarely ever walked, very rarely ever got on base. So to see Tyler be more complete, you know, he's really stressed two simple things, and this is something that the Cardinals preach offensively throughout their entire lineup, is hitting the ball to all fields and being selective in their plate approach and finding a ball he can hit hard. Now, if you see Tyler O'Neill, if you've ever seen him in person, you know, like, okay, well, this is a pretty strong, muscular dude. If he gets a hold of a baseball, it's going to go a long way, and it definitely has. But I think Tyler has made a conscious effort to be more well-rounded and to be more of a versatile hitter and not just rely on the home run ball. Of course, he has hit plenty of home runs, had his locked in his first 20 home run game season the other night. But it's been fun to see the progression and how he matures as a hitter, just based on him wanting to be more well-rounded at the plate. So he's been a huge guy for them. When you have Tommy Edman leading off right now with Dylan Carlson hurt, and Tommy Edman's on a bit of a hot streak, with Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado heating up for the first time together all season, unless they're playing the Giants, because we know how that works. And then Tyler O'Neill hitting four, you know, that's a really lethal 1-4 combo, and it lengthens the rest of the lineup when all three are connecting like that. So it's been a very fun season to watch Tyler's growth there.
Couldn't help but smile earlier this week when I saw the tweet. Sources tell me and at Ken Rosenthal that the Cardinals are working on an extension with Yadier Molina. What can you tell us about the catcher who I believe is a future Hall of Famer, just like Buster Posey?
Oh, absolutely. I think when you think of catchers still in the game, you think Yadier Molina, you think Buster Posey, and you think Hall of Famers. You know, it's no secret that Yadi wants to come back to St. Louis. He made that clear in multiple reports, and the Cardinals are looking to bring him back for one more year. It certainly makes sense. I mean, they have their catcher of the future, Ivan Herrera, coming up, but he probably won't be ready for 2022. Andrew Kisner has done a good job filling in when needed, and I honestly think Kisner is good enough to start in most other organizations. So I think what the Cardinals are looking for is to bring Yadi back for 1 year and to continue the mentorship and the leadership and all the things that he does that you cannot measure on Baseball Reference or a stat line or something like that. And, you know, hopefully that's enough, because they really are looking at 2022 as that year of contention. It was supposed to be 2021, of course, and, you know, there's still a chance. But 2022 is when they're looking to make their full push. It's when their window's opening. It's when their top prospects will be ready. And I think that when you're making the push and you're aiming for a World Series run, you need Yadier Molina at the helm of that. And it certainly makes sense to bring him back for one more year. He's just turned 39. He's played a lot this year. We're seeing him get a couple more days off per week now that we're kind of in the dog day stretch of the summer. But I think it's a no-brainer for both sides. If Yadi wants to come back and the Cardinals want to bring him back, you know, it should be relatively easy to get a one-year deal done soon.
Talking with Katie Wu here, she covers the St. Louis Cardinals for The Athletic. As Marty likes to say, the Cardinals have become a story, and it's great to have Katie on. It's always nice to have her perspective. And Katie, you covered the San Diego Padres a few years ago. You were there when A.J. Preller was kind of loading up to make 2021 a big year and potentially beyond have some big years with all the additions that he's made, that guys are under team control into the future. And the Padres are fading. The Cardinals are rising. The Reds very much in the thick of this NL wildcard race. How much has your perspective on this race changed over the last month or so with regard to how the Cardinals can challenge for a postseason spot?
You know, they definitely are optimistic, and I think they're clicking all at the right time. I mean, when you get Jack Flaherty back, the Cardinals were a completely different team without Jack Flaherty. We saw it. They looked pretty good in April and May. Jack went out to 8-1, had the most wins in the majors as a pitcher. They lost him, and they went on a tailspin. So they finally got him back. He's looked great in his two starts back. They get Miles back, and I was joking with Mike Schilt the other day, you know, hey, coming up on this next road trip, you're going to have your projected three starters in Jack, Miles, and Adam Wainwright pitching a series for the first time all season. And he, you know, he did one of those laughs where he was like, yeah, it's funny, but it's not, because it's really frustrating. But that's a huge boost to a club when you have the guys that you've been missing all year come back. Kwon Young Kim looks to be coming off the IL soon, along with Wade LeBlanc. That would potentially give them seven starters. Kerry, there was a time in this year where they barely had three. So that kind of stuff can be a huge boost in the arm. And then you look at their schedule. I mean, they've taken pretty good advantage of their August schedule so far when they played a stretch of nearly 20 games with opponents under 500. They still have two more games against the Pirates. They have two more against the Tigers, and then a four-game set in Pittsburgh. And then it's crunch time. Starting July 30th, their next 23 games comes against opponents that have direct implications in either the wild card or the division. I mean, they have the Dodgers in town for four. They have the Padres in town for three. That will be a huge series. They go to Cincinnati one more time, and the Reds come to St. Louis one more time as well. So there's plenty of opportunity. And I do think, yes, the Phillies are coming up right behind them, but the NL East with those three teams and the Phillies, the Braves, and which one am I missing?
The Mets there, yeah, because the Mets have essentially become irrelevant, so it's not your bad. The Mets have been playing horrible baseball.
I was like, there's someone here that's an obvious team, and I feel like that was just really Mets of me to forget who they were. Those two teams are going to figure themselves out based on the amount of times they play each other. The Padres, as you know, Carey, played the Giants and the Dodgers 19 times in September. So the Cardinals very much control their own fate there. And if there's one thing we've seen about this team in the past, is that they really live for that improbable September run. And they're pretty adamant they're going to deliver this year.
Hey, one more here for you, Katie, before we let you go. Who's better, The Cardinals or the Reds? We know what the records are. The Reds pulling even with the San Diego Padres last night in the wild card race. But you've seen these teams all season long. You've been to Great American Ballpark. You've been stationed at Busch Stadium. Who's better in your opinion?
You know, I want to say it's a toss-up because they're pretty evenly matched up. But the Reds outplayed the Cardinals in head-to-head play every single time. The Reds, when they play the Cardinals, look like the better team. They certainly have St. Louis's number, which makes these six games remaining so important for them, because it when you look at how these two fared one-on-one, it's no contest. But, you know, anything can change, and the Reds got lucky, I think, with their timing, where they were going against a lot of pitchers that maybe weren't ready or were being used as spot starters. So it'll be interesting to see how these two teams pair up with their full pitching staff, but I do think the Reds are the better team, at least in head-to-head competition.
Good perspective. I don't think the Giants would say that. They're 6-1 against Cincinnati, 2-4 against St. Louis, so the Giants have a very different look at that thing, but the NL Central race, the NL wildcard race, always very fun, and no one better to break it down than Katie Wu. Katie, we always appreciate it.
Carrie, thanks so much for having me. Enjoy your weekend.
All right, a whole lot more coming up here on Talkin' Baseball. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.